Jonathan on the line, who's going to talk to us about what's going on in Deeming Creek up in Brisbane. G'day, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, the main First Nations organisers weren't available this morning. So
that's right.
I'm coming at you from Yugger and Turrbal country up here in Brisbane.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking some time. And in fact, you're a Brisbane councillor, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a Green City councillor up here in Brisbane. So the area where this development's happening is a little outside Brisbane's local government area. It's in the satellite town of Ipswich and just on Ipswich's southern boundary.
Yeah, and looking at the background to this particular dispute, it's almost like a map of the Australian Badlands, really. The ultimate, it's got all the elements of the things that have not been resolved in colonial white Australia, isn't it?
Yeah, big time. There's a long, complex history to it, but the short version is that this site, Deeming Creek, was used as an Aboriginal mission in the late 1800s and early 1900s, where First Nations people from across southeast Queensland were forcibly round up and made to live there and work there without fair pay. So there's a history of slavery and forced relocations, dispossession of land. Significantly, that this was one of the first missions in all of Queensland. So people were rounded up to Deeming Creek and then later moved on to other missions and stations. So also a lot of history of child removals and connections to stolen generations, etc. So, yeah, there's that long history of this site being used as a mission. And then on top of that, it has other cultural significance as a major waterway that connects to the Brisbane River. And so there have been quite a few attempts in the past to develop the site. Back in the, I think it was the 80s, there was a attempt to turn the whole thing into a giant golf course. And that time, the community pushed back and there were big protests, and that resulted in a very small part of the site being protected on the State Heritage Register. But a local mob are concerned that the area that's been mapped as State Heritage is only a small proportion of the whole site. And crucially, there are concerns that the area which was mapped as the cemetery from the mission doesn't include all the areas where bodies have been buried. So there are very credible concerns that there are unmarked graves and human remains across the site that haven't been mapped by the government and haven't been protected.
Also, there is thoughts that it was actually a massacre site as well.
That's right. There are oral histories highlighting that a massacre, perhaps involving children, also happened on the site. Lots of debate, nowhere near enough government attention given to examining these claims and verifying them. And of course, the site has now been parcelled up and sold off to various property developers who have a very strong profit interest in discouraging and delegitimizing any investigation into those oral histories. So, a couple of years ago, after receiving all the approvals from State Government Council, the developers were about to start building on the Deeming Creek site. And at that moment, First Nations people and their allies decided to start an occupation. And they've been occupying that site just south of Ipswich for 3-plus years now. And it's quite phenomenal when you think about it as a land rights response to unsustainable suburban sprawl development for mob to be out there on country, living on site, reconnecting with land, restoring the land. They've been planting both farms and growing food, but also restoring the bushland with planting native species. It's really a phenomenal space of cultural renewal, and they've successfully kept the developers at bay in the areas where they've set up their land defender camps. But just on Wednesday afternoon, developers started clearing the forest about a kilometre to the south of the camp. And that's when things sort of heated up this week.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as I said, this has all the hallmarks of every part of these kind of developments. There's the developer in this particular case. It's Stock. What's their name?
Stocklands is one
Stocklands,
of the
main developers. The one that in particular has bringing in bulldozers in this particular place. Are talking about how they've got a plan, and they've spoken to various communities, indigenous communities around there, and they've got them to sign on the dotted line and all that kind of stuff. But there's more to this, isn't there, in regards to the issue of the native title framework. Indigenous people using this framework have no right to actually stop this kind of development, do they?
Yeah, and I'm mindful as a non-Indigenous person of not wanting to speak for people, but what people on the ground have been saying for a long time is that the entire native title framework is broken, it turns people against each other, and crucially it doesn't give them veto power over developments like this. So sometimes families feel pressured or forced into signing onto a cultural heritage management plan so that they can at least have some influence over the protection of the most significant parts of a site. But signing a cultural heritage management plan doesn't mean that they're supporting the development or approving what's going on. And so in this case, everyone connected to the site, not just the owners of that particular area of Ipswich, but all the other families whose ancestors were taken from different parts of southeast Queensland and imprisoned there. All of those different family groups have said that they don't want these developments to go ahead. There's literally can't find a single First Nations person who thinks this is a good idea, and yet the current framework gives them no power to say no to that development. And so the developers get their approvals from the state government and council, and they start bulldozing trees, and it's all justified in the name of progress.
Yeah, it's very stark, isn't it? Because, you know, it's all very well to say that, oh, yeah, we're hearing your voice and all this sort of stuff. But in actual fact, this is a stark reminder that there's a completely different understanding of care to country and responsibility to country, and Western colonial capitalist enshrining of progress and development as being
that's right, and a real sort of there is a housing crisis at the moment, and this is all justified in the name of creating more housing. But even that justification is really spurious, because this is a for-profit development. It doesn't include any public housing or community housing. This is really just about developers making as much money as they can. But it's also a terrible location for housing, because this is right beyond the city outskirts in the bush. It's not connected to public transport services. It's a long drive from schools and community facilities and shops and job opportunities. So the developers are essentially setting up a situation where future residents are going to have to drive long distances and spend a lot of money on petrol or whatever to move around. And so the developers don't pay their fair share towards infrastructure or community facilities, and then they claim to be building housing, but they're not providing any of the facilities that make a neighbourhood work, and are in doing so just contributing to the broader failure in urban planning in Australian cities. So
it's really divisive, isn't it? It's just really pushing the pressure points in Australian society. Poor whites against Indigenous people, you know, developers, and they're all just gleefully eating the pie while everyone else is being left with nothing.
Yeah, that's right. And as one elder pointed out to me, the significance of this area environmentally as well is really high. Like, this is prime koala habitat. It's a koala corridor. They've seen echidnas and kangaroos, etc., on the site. There's a lot of wildlife there. But this elder was saying that the we should be able to build housing without fully clearing the forest. Like, if there is a need to create more housing in certain areas, it shouldn't require wholesale bulldozing of entire stands of vegetation, as we've seen up at Deben Creek.
One of the Greens representatives in state parliament in Queensland actually caused an uproar, didn't she?
Yeah, Amy McMahon used her moment in parliament well yesterday, and she got herself kicked out, but I think did a good job of raising the issue and interrupted proceedings and was talking about Deben Creek and both the environmental impacts but also the land rights implication. And I think a lot of people across southeast Queensland are increasingly concerned about this development, but maybe people still don't quite realise how significant it is, because, you know, private development projects happen all the time and they always receive community objections, and most of the time the government just rolls over them. But on this rare occasion, the community, they've put in their submissions and they've been ignored, but then instead of saying, oh, well, it's been approved, I guess there's nothing we can do, the mob have stepped up and they're protecting the site and they're living on country and they're defending the land with their bodies. And I think I can't think of too many similar examples in terms of resisting suburban sprawl development and protecting sacred sites here in southeast Queensland. And the fact that the occupation has lasted for 3+ years now and they still haven't been able to clear the forest closer to the main mission site is really inspiring.
What's going to happen now? There was a smoking ceremony yesterday which stopped the bulldozers, and the death of the trees is highly significant too. The idea that trees aren't living, and this has been pointed out by the First Nations people who are trying to hold the line here, this is a monumental death when the old trees are gone.
Yeah, I'll read from one of the statements that the group put out, because I don't want to speak for them too much, but they said that Their bulldozers have nothing on culture. Over the past few days, protectors have been engaged in ceremony in the path of the bulldozers, stopping work. Our ancestors are here. They deserve to come home, and they deserve to do that with cultural integrity. These trees are life. They maintain life. And then they say, there are so many reasons to protect Deben Creek. Come stand with us. Let's keep the fire burning. As you say, this is really significant to people, and the fact that the crew were willing to walk onto that site literally while the bulldozers were there, and the site operators had to shut down work for the day and send their workers home, and then the group moved through the site and held a smoking ceremony. It was really very powerful, and I think, like, probably really put the wind up the developers, because they maybe didn't expect that there would be that kind of resistance, which was both very peaceful and respectful, but also really strong and effective.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Jonathan.
Thank you. People can follow the Deben Creek Sovereignty page on Facebook for further updates.